remain standing and turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. Amen. Appreciate those songs. Amen. Glad I've got the victory. Amen. Might not know which verse to sing, but I'm glad I know my name's on the roll. Amen. I'm glad I've got the victory in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's good just to change things around once in a while and mix things up maybe. Amen. I don't know if you heard about it, but earlier today I had a kidnapping down the road we live on. And I think me and my wife took a nap too. But I heard there's a kid napping down there. They said he went to sleep on a corduroy pillow, and it made headlines. Amen. All right. Hope it gets better. Amen. I hope it gets better. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. Amen. That wasn't one original with me. Actually, that was a Elliot Smith joke right there. Elliot told me that years ago, and I thought of it the other day. I said, I'm going to use that, amen, whether I should have or not. I did, amen, amen. Proverbs chapter number 1, and we've been looking now for, I don't know, a few weeks. I think this makes the 10th message we're looking at the Proverbs. And my initial idea was to run through it, and we covered the first chapter 2 and then 3 and 4. We covered them all pretty quickly, and then I went back last time and looked at chapter number 3, and a point from that tried to talk about the promises that are made in the Proverbs. And I asked the question, is it too good to be true? I'm glad all of God's word's true. You can believe every word of God. Amen. Now we may misapply it. We may misunderstand it, but all of God's word's true. Amen. And I'm glad that it is. But tonight I want to go back to chapter 1, and I want to look at these four chapters, and I've just got a thought. I actually got 2 points is all I've got tonight. And quite a few verses that I want to look at. And I want to preach to the young people as we're heading down to the end of the year. And the Proverbs are written as a father to his son. And of course, I know God wrote it. God moved on Solomon to write these things. And Solomon keeps talking about my son. So their idea is the father giving advice to his son. It's actually a wise father giving advice to a son that he's hoping will be wise. And we've got the wisest father that ever was. And he wants us to be wise. Amen. So we've got instruction here for that. But I want to use the instructions found in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 and look at some of the instructions to young people concerning the company you keep. Amen. That's the title that I've got for tonight. Instructions for young people concerning the company you keep. Amen. And I thought about this. I could subtitle it. Brother Steve likes them. If a title's not long enough, you subtitle it. And the subtitle would be this. In 2021, be careful of the crowd with which you run. In 2021, be careful of the crowd with which you run. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You ought to underline those 3 words. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily or privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. I'm going to stop there at verse 16. If correctly read, that's verses 10 through 16 of Proverbs chapter 1. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, I want to remind you that these first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs are actually a series of lectures or admonitions that the wise father Solomon had given to his son. Many of them, he starts off with my son, as he did here again and again. He did that in verse number 10 and again in verse number 15. And we'll find it all through here. He's speaking to the son. It doesn't mean that it's not good advice to daughters. Amen. It doesn't mean that it's only for the male sex. It means that's for all of us. Amen. But he's particularly dealing with young men. And I find that young men are particularly impressionable. Amen. They're particularly impressionable. And so he talks about them being careful about who they run with, if I can say it that way, the company that they keep, who they hang out with. That's the terminology that is used many times. And so he warns them about the friends that they might hang out with. And he warns them about the people with which they might partner with in life. He's advising his son to be careful about the influence that others would place upon your life. We have a term that we hear a lot of times called peer pressure. The idea of that is those that are your equals, that's what peers are, your equals put pressure on you to fit their mold, to be just like them. Amen. And we see that. I mean, you see that in a mighty way, how that it runs through our country and our culture. And I was reminded of that again just this week, being back home for Christmas time. And there's a lot of things. For example, I don't know much about television shows, and I thank God that I don't. Amen. I know about some of the old things back in the past, but I don't know about what's going on now. But these young people know about it. You know why they know about it? Because it's their babysitter. Because that's what they watch. That's what they listen to. That's what they spend their time with. They know about those things. They know what's the latest cartoon or the latest whatever. They know about all those things. And it's because that's the crowd they run with. And I was reminded of that again. But I want to say young people, and really everybody, but especially young people, friends are important. Amen. We want friends. You need friends. Amen. One of the reasons why Facebook got to be so popular back in the day was because you had all those friends. Amen. And you had so many people that liked what you had to say. Amen. And everybody wants friends, and we need friends. I know some people say, well, I don't care if I have any friends or not. They're probably not being honest. They're like the little boy that sent the love letter to the girl and says, I love you. Will you marry me? Yes or no? And she says no. And he said, I never liked her to start with. The fellow that says he doesn't need friends is probably saying that because he doesn't have as many as he wishes that he had. Amen. We do need friends, but we need to be careful how we pick them. Amen. We need to be careful those that we allow into our friendship circle. Amen. Those that we allow into our inner circle. And we don't need to be careful about that because we may very easily be very deeply influenced by our friends. I've said I've got a lot of verses. Hold your place in Proverbs 1. We'll come back to that. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. I want you to see these. Some of these will be so very familiar to you, but I want you to put your eyes on it and see that. Proverbs 22 and verses 24 and 25. This one's probably not so familiar, but we'll run across some that are. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Doesn't mean you can't have a friend that gets angry, but he's talking about a man that doesn't control his temper, a friend that has an out-of-range temper. He said, you need to stay away from that crowd. Amen. Need to stay away from them. Don't make friends with them. Look at Proverbs 29. He's telling you who you can make friends with and who not to. Be careful who you run with. Proverbs 29 and verse number 3. Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So he said, don't make friends with an angry man. And he said, don't be friends with harlots. It'll cost you. Amen. in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. If you would look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll come back to Proverbs in a minute, and these few verses in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. He's talking about church discipline. I understand that. But he says to them, 1 Corinthians 5, 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Amen. He said, don't hang around impure people. Amen. Don't run with a crowd that's committing fornication. Amen. Very simple. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. This one's very familiar. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can say, well, I know better than to do like the harlot. I know better than to do like the angry man. I know better than to do like the fornicator. Even though you've got good manners, if you run with that crowd, it's going to corrupt your good manners. Amen. I mentioned some time ago about the first sermon I ever heard Brother Hall preach. I remember it well, at Randleman, North Carolina, and he preached on Jonah. He titled it One Bad Apple. And the whole ship got in trouble. All them sailors got in trouble because of one bad apple. And the point is, one bad apple spoils the whole barrel. Amen. It spoils the whole crowd. One more in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Let me give you one more. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul's closing her down, and he's given some final instructions. And verse number 14, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So you notice all those places again and again. He said, don't make friends with this one. Don't have company. Don't make friends with an angry man. Don't have company with harlots. Don't have company with fornicators. Be careful, because evil communications corrupt good manners. And he said, have no company with that man that walks contrary to the words of this epistle. Again, he's warning us again and again and again to be careful of running with bad company. Because if we hang around bad company, they'll rub off on us, as they say. Amen. Our grandparents used to say, if you lie with the dogs, you're going to get the fleas. You ever heard that? Amen. And it is the truth. You run with that crowd, you're going to get corrupted in that crowd. So he's warning us, keep your distance from an angry man. Stay away. Don't have any company with a harlot. Don't have any company with a fornicator. He lists those two, I believe, are pretty much synonymous. He says, avoid being closely entangled with those that go against the very teachings of the Bible. When they reject the Bible, he said, it's because their evil communications will corrupt your good manners. They've been instilled. Maybe you've got parents that's instilled you some good manners. Maybe you've had some good teachers in the church that have instilled you good manners. Maybe you've been taught some good things. I'm going to tell you, if you run with the wrong crowd, you're going to wind up getting in trouble. Almost every boy that winds up in jail, his mama says, you know, he got to run with the wrong crowd. And it is the truth. It is the truth. Amen. So I want to take these warnings, particularly in the early chapters of Proverbs, and show you these things and make just a couple of points. They're made in every one of these. In chapter number 1 and then again chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 2 doesn't mention the warnings so particularly. But I'm going to deal with chapter 1, 3, and 4. And look at chapter number 1 again and verse number 10 where we began. Both points are made, I believe, in all three of these chapters. In this first four chapters, all three of these points are made. And so he's talking about the need of separation among Christian youth. If you're going to live for God, you don't have any business running with that other crowd. Amen. You don't have any business running with them. You know, when I was in school, they had the smoking area. Amen. They had a barrel out there that you could go out and you know, I don't think ever one time ever stood around the smoking barrel. You know why? Because I didn't smoke. Right? Now, I know some people that went out there that didn't smoke when they went out there. But some of them smoked before they left. You know why? Rubbed off on them. Those things rub off on them. Amen. And I could name a million things that we could talk about there that will rub off that way. And that's the idea that he's got. So I want to say there ought to be separation of Christian youths, whether boys or girls, they ought to be separated from the world. You ought to be different from the world. Amen. You might say, well, preacher, you're trying to make us square pegs, trying to fit in a round hole. No, I'm trying to help you stay out of trouble is what I'm trying to do. Amen. And I want to encourage you. And here we are at the end of the year. I just thought it'd be good one more time to remind you. We've got a new year coming up. Remind you, just make up your mind. I'm not going with that crowd by the good grace of God. Amen. Now, there's 2 points that he mentions. Number one, he mentions don't listen to their enticements. You see that in chapter 1, verse 10. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Amazingly, almost no evil is done singularly. Evil loves company. Amen. Evil loves company. Matter of fact, even little children will team up to get in the mischief. You've seen it. Amen. They will. And I don't know why. I don't understand. And, well, he made me do it. Well, they was doing it. Well, everybody's doing it. And all of a sudden that makes it all right. No, just because they've teamed up to do mischief don't mean that mischief's right. Amen. But evil loves company. And so the wise father here wants his son to avoid those other young men. He warns him to avoid them because they might entice him into mischief, or they might entice him into acts of rebellion. Amen. And I say not only do young men need that reminder, but young women need to be warned. Sometimes it's young men that entice those young ladies into wickedness. They'll say things like, come on, you're not chicken, are you? And they'll mock and make fun and do their best to entice you, to lure you away from the path of right behavior and lead you into the ways of sin. Amen. Sometimes it's young men leading other young men. Sometimes it's young ladies leading other young ladies. Amen. Or maybe even a young lady leading young men into mischief, but it does happen. And so what the wise parent here is saying, he's saying don't listen to them. Don't listen to their enticements. Can I say to you, young people, don't listen to music that has that enticement in it. Amen. That enticement to do wrong. If they're glorifying smoking dope, pitch the music out. Amen. If they're glorifying illicit sex, pitch the music out. Amen. If they're glorifying wrong behavior of any kind, pitch it out. Amen. Get away from it. Amen. Don't listen to it. That's what the wise parent said. Don't listen to them. Don't consent. Don't give in. Don't let it go in your ear because it'll get in there and cause some trouble down the road if you do. Amen. Again, I say this. Don't chat with people. Don't text with people. Amen. Don't tweet with people that are talking about things that are not right and might be enticing you into wrong behavior. Amen. I say you have a will. Amen. You have a choice. You can say no. You can choose better friends. You say, but preacher, they're my friend. Or, but mom or dad, they're my friend. You can choose better friends. Amen. If they're leading you in the wrong way, they're not a good friend. Amen. You do have a choice in the matter. Amen. But now listen, if you start listening to their enticements, you start listening to their arguments, you know what you'll do? You'll start giving in little by little. Their argument all of a sudden start making little sense. Maybe daddy is a little too strict. Maybe mama is old fashioned. Maybe things are not exactly as straight, cut and dried, black and white. Maybe it wouldn't be wrong to do a little bit of this and dabble in a little bit of that. If you start listening to them, it'll seem like their argument starts making sense. That's why the psalmist said, or the proverb writer said in the very first proverb, don't listen to them. Be careful what you watch on YouTube. Be careful who you listen to, even teach the Bible. Amen. Amen. Be careful what you're letting in your ears. Don't listen to those that entice you into doing things that are wrong. Amen. I could go through a million things that I think about that just runs through my mind. But what the scripture's saying, he's saying, don't listen to them. I thought about this, and I wrote it down. Not only will, if you listen to them just a little bit, not only will their arguments seem to start making sense, but they'll seem to have all the answers. They'll seem to have all the right answers to your questions or to your arguments. Amen. All of a sudden, they're a Greek scholar, and they know that the word wine always means intoxicating alcohol when it doesn't always mean intoxicating alcohol. Amen. They'll use all kinds of arguments with you and try to badger you and argue with you and attempt to corral you into doing wrong. But here's the most dangerous. He said, it's not the crowd that's trying to twist your arm and make you do wrong. It's not the crowd that's trying to corral you and shove you into doing wrong. It's the crowd that's trying to lead you and entice you and seduce you into doing wrong. That's the most dangerous crowd. It's not the crowd that they've got the t-shirt that says, bad boy, I'm the one your mama warned you about, that kind of stuff. No, it's not the ones that's got the t-shirts and look so obvious. It's the crowd that slips in and says, I believe like you believe, except for I believe we can do this, and I think it's all right for us to go ahead and dabble in that. Amen. And they start enticing you into doing wrong. And so the danger is when they don't appear to be an enemy, but they appear to be a friend. They seem like a friend, and yet they are leading you in the wrong direction. Amen. Amen. I've been reading a book last little bit, Philip Keller, real famous book that he wrote about a shepherd's view or a shepherd look at Psalm 23. And he talks about he was a sheep herder. And he knows he deals with sheep. And he made this statement. He said that most sheep don't wander off on their own. And most sheep are not led astray by a false shepherd or by some wily predatory animal. Most sheep go astray by following a rebellious sheep. You get one that starts looking for green grass and always wanting to stick its nose through the fence. Always wanting to find a hole, a loophole that they can wiggle through. And you know what they'll do? They'll be teaching others to wiggle through the same hole. Amen. So you got to be careful. He's saying don't listen to them. They're not trying to force you. They're trying to flatter you. Oh, you'd be great at this. How can you hold your liquor? Oh yeah, you can smoke dope and you can still walk a straight line. You can fool everybody. They'll flatter you and all kinds of stuff. And by the way, when they make a fool of you, what a lot of them will do is they'll laugh at you. They'll just laugh at you when you look like a fool. When you get sick and throw up, they'll laugh at that. Amen. Well, I can see a lot of things, but I'm telling you, they're not forcing you, but they're flattering you. They don't appear to be trying to enslave you, but they're just enticing you. And by the way, in that enticement, they are enslaving you. Amen. He said, don't listen to them. Turn your ears away from it. Turn your feet away from them. Turn your heart away from them. Amen. By the way, that's the most important thing. Turn your heart away from them. Don't listen to their evil enticements. Amen. I just say again to you young people, if you have friends that use wrong language, get away from them, because if you're not careful, you'll start using those same words. Amen. If you've got friends that continue to look at wrong things, especially if they're trying to entice you to look at wrong things, get away from them. Make different friends. Amen. Turn away from them. He said, consent thou not. Amen. Don't give in to them. Get away from them. That leads me to my second point. And not only he said, don't listen to their enticement, but he says, number two, don't linger in their company. Don't hang around with them. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 15. Again, he uses the word my son. He says, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He's saying don't listen to them, but he's also saying don't start down that path. Amen. Don't start down that path. A lot of times people follow the path their friends are on. Amen. One of the things God blessed me with in the early days of my ministry, to be honest with you, was to meet men like Brother Hall, Brother Herbert, Brother Gene Mathias. I remember Brother Elliot Smith meeting some men that had some strong standards, some strong convictions. It helped strengthen me and mine. Amen. Young men like Brother Joel Hite. Brother Hite was a young man when we, me and him started out. Me and him, matter of fact, started out, met each other at John Melton's youth camp. We was both preaching night after. He'd be one night and I'd be the next night preaching together, Brother Hite. And through that, I met Brother Sisk and Brother Melton and a lot of those men that had some convictions. And then I met some older men that had convictions. Men like Brother Seitler and got to hear some of them preach. And men like Brother Mays Jackson and Brother Sammy Allen. Amen. And men like that Brother Blue. Amen. Brother Atkinson. Amen. And men that had some convictions and standards and stayed with the stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. It encouraged me to do the same. Amen. But I don't know what would have happened if I had started running with the Billy Graham crowd. I don't guess I ever could have. But if I'd have got running in that crowd or with the crowd that start lowering their standards, that start trying to, you know, dip their colors to get the crowd in and all that kind of stuff. Amen. I'm not saying that I'm somebody, but I'm saying I am what I am today because some of the friends that I chose to run with. Amen. You young people, especially all of us, we need to pay attention, but especially young people, you're impressionable. Your life's being molded. Be careful whose mold you're in. Be careful the crowd you're running with. Amen. Don't listen to them when they're telling those filthy things. And he said, don't go down their path. For example, if you have a friend that starts committing fornication, you know what will happen a lot of times? They ought to be ashamed of that, by the way. A lot of times they're not ashamed of it. They're bragging about it. They're boastful about it. They think it makes them a man. They act as if there's nothing wrong with it. By the way, it is wrong. Amen. It is wrong. God calls it a sin. Amen. It's filthy in the sight of a holy God. It's still in a young woman's purity that ought to be reserved for her husband. You're still in that. Amen. You're being disobedient to parents. Amen. If your parents have any natural affection, they don't want you doing that. They don't want you living the life of a dog or of an animal. Amen. And what you're doing, you're breaking all those things down. So God said, He said, honor your parents and obey your parents. It'll be good for you. But if you're disobeying them, it ain't going to be good for you. And I'm telling you, God's keeping a record. They're being disobedient to their parents. They're still in that young girl's purity. They're boasting about sin. By the way, some people, I know they mock it. They laugh about it. But the Bible says it's fools that make a mock at sin. And to be honest with you, it's no wonder some young men and some young women wind up being so foolish because their parents are such fools. If they laugh at sin and say there ain't nothing wrong with it, amen. I remember several years ago a young girl had written in her diary about some stuff that was, I mean, vulgar things. And when her dad found out about it, he just laughed and said, I'm glad she wants boys and not girls. Well, listen, that ain't something to laugh about. Amen. I realize perversion's perversion. I understand that. But I also understand the Bible calls fornication wrong just like it calls sodomy wrong. Amen. All of it's in the same category. But here they start bragging about it and they start boasting about it and they'll start talking about their accomplishments and how great all of it is and they'll paint it as some kind of a great thing in life and something to be desired and something to be enjoyed. And if you're not careful, it'll get wheels turning in your mind. It'll cause you thoughts you don't need to have. Amen. And you'll listen to it. If you're not careful, it will entice you into evil. God says, consent thou not. God says, walk not in their path. Don't start down that path. Amen. Refrain thy foot from their path. Get away from those people. Amen. Don't hang out with those people. I'm not saying don't be friendly to them, but they don't need to be your close friends. Amen. Amen. I put this in my notes. Dope heads hang out with dopers. Fornicators keep company with fornicators. Harlots are companions and befriend harlots. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The old saying, it's not found in the Bible, but it is biblical, birds of a feather tend to flock together. That's true. They tend to hook up with one another. Amen. One fellow said this, I don't know who said it originally. I've heard a couple different men say it, but they said, you either are or soon will be what your friends are. You show me who your friends are, and I'll show you where you're headed. Amen. If you listen to rebels, more than likely you're going to head down the pathway of rebellion. Amen. Good advice. Don't hearken to them and don't hang out with them. Amen. Amen. And that's found again here in chapter number 2. Let's see if that's right. I wrote it down as 2, but I don't remember. It is chapter number 2. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 10. Chapter 2, verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You notice that again? It's coming out of his mouth. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Not only are they talking it, they're walking it. And he's talking to them, be careful. Don't listen to them. Don't linger in their company or you'll wind up going down the same path. Look at verse number 15. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Amen. I'll stop there in verse number 19. So what he's saying there is, be careful the route you start taking. Be careful the friends you bring into your company, because they'll lead you down the wrong road if you're not careful. Amen. And he covers enticement of both men and women. I think most often it's young men enticing or encouraging other young men into sin. I think that's right. But more and more frequently in these days, it's young men encouraging young women to do wrong. Or vice versa. Amen. The Bible plainly tells us that trouble lurks in the shadows of the darkness of that path. If you head down that path, the harlot's house may look like something enticing. The world paints it up as if it's something wonderful. But the Bible said that's where the dead are. There's torments there. There's stink there. Amen. I say this. If you go down that road, you're going to get bit somewhere down the road. You play with that snake long enough, you're going to get bit. Amen. Now, the problem is this. The problem is, you've got, and we can all picture this, the cheese on the mouse trap. They've got the thing cocked back there, and it's got the hair trigger. And the mouse comes up and nibbles at the cheese, and it doesn't bust his brains out. You know what he does? He goes back and brags it. Whoa, I'm telling you, I got this thing figured out. I done it and got by with it. And then he goes back another time and he nibbles a little more. And maybe he still don't get his brains busted out. And all of a sudden he's the talk of the town. he's the big cheese, if I say that way, in the mice group. He's really got it all, but one day he goes back one time too many. He takes one bite too much. He thinks he's got it all figured out. I'm telling you, listen, the problem with sin is that the devil will let you get by with it just till he can hook the hook, just until he can tighten the noose, just until he can stab the heart with his dagger. Amen. He'll let you get by. Amen. And God, by the way, God doesn't smite you dead the first time. Not every time. A lot of people get by. It looks like they get by, but nobody ever gets by. Amen. Somewhere down the road, the trap is thrown. Amen. Now here's the goal. I'm almost done with this message. I know this is old news to us, but we need to be reminded of it. Be careful of the friends that you hook up with. Here's the goal. Verse number 20 of chapter 2. The goal is not to try to keep you from having any fun. The goal is not to try to, you know, make you some kind of a square. No, the goal is to keep you out of trouble. Look at verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Amen. that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Amen. Now, to faithfully drive this home, he says it again in chapter number 4. And I'll read you these verses and a little bit of comment and be done. Verse number 14 of chapter 4, look at it. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Well, you can't get more plain than that. Amen. Detour, he said, detour. Warning, warning, warning. That's what he's saying, all right? Verse number 16. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Mm-hmm. He said they don't even see the trouble. They don't even recognize it, but they're headed right for it. Look at verse number 24, chapter 4. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Amen. He said, don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Amen. But if you keep hanging around with them, you'll begin to listen to their wickedness. Amen. You'll begin to listen to their froward, perverse mouth, he said. Amen. Do you know, it wasn't that far back. I mean, in all of us that are adults in our lifetime, when we was going to school, you would have never believed people could be as confused as they are today and think that outright flagrant sin is okay. But today we're living there. Because it's my life. It's my choice. All of a sudden, you know what it is? They're their own God. Amen. They're their own God. They're rebelling against God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They want to be God. And now, and here's what people do. They say, well, you know, but I just want them to be happy, and so I think it's all right. No, according to this Bible, and by the way, what was wrong 100 years ago is still wrong today. What was perversion then is still perversion today. Amen. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Don't hang around with them. Or you'll start heeding their perverse mouth. You'll fall into those same sins or worse. I've seen people say, well, I would never do that. And maybe they don't, but they do worse. I knew men, they wouldn't drink, or I say young men, they wouldn't drink a beer for nothing, wound up on meth. Worse. And I'm not applauding alcohol by any means. Amen. I've known people that they'd say, well, I wouldn't do this, but they wind up doing worse. You know why? Because the crowd they ran with, the people they hung around with. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to give an invitation, opportunity for people to move if you need to pray. Maybe you've got loved ones that you know they're with the wrong crowd. You want to pray, God, deliver them. Lord, help them. If you're here today, listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know who you're running with or even what you're thinking, what you're listening to, what you're looking at. I want to warn you. I want to warn you. If it's the wrong things, evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't care who your mom and daddy is. I don't care who your preacher is. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that warns us again. And Lord, I don't like this kind of preaching, but it's needful. I'm thankful that I heard it. I'm thankful, Lord, that that's the thing that helped me in my life. Lord, I believe it's what will help others as well. Lord, I pray that you'd help those that have never heard the truth, that they'd come to thee even now. But those that have heard it, Lord, maybe they've started listening to the wrong crowd. Help them, dear God, to get away from that. Run back and hear the clarion call to come back home where things are right. Come back to God. Make things right. They can get some clarity. They can get some solid ground to stand on. They can get some assurance again if they'll just get back to that old Bible. The things of God. Father, I pray, draw them even now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.